Welcome to the Dr. Francavilla Show. I'm your host, Dr. Carolyn Francavilla, board-certified family physician and diplomate of the American Board of Obesity Medicine. I've been helping patients lose weight to treat and prevent medical problems for the last 10 years, and I'm taking what I've learned from them to you. In this podcast, you will learn the science behind why you struggle with your weight and what to do about it, tips for common challenges, work to fight bias about what a healthy weight really is, and improve your relationship with food and your body. Please remember that while I'm a doctor, I'm not your doctor. This podcast is meant to be informational in nature only, not medical advice. Please seek out care from your physician for your specific needs. Okay, let's get started. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Dr. Francavilla Show. I have another fabulous guest for us this week, and we're going to talk about strength training. We've talked about this a couple times before on the podcast, and I've gotten awesome feedback about it, and I find that it is something I am encouraging my patients to do more and more. So excited to get some real practical tips today. I have Dr. Carrie Holland with me today. She is the CEO and a full-time coach. She helps women build strong habits around eating, moving, and thinking. She addresses the impact of her clients' responsibilities at work and home on their wellness using mindset management tools, habit psychology, nutrition, and exercise expertise. Carrie helps overstretched, high-level working women prioritize themselves. She's also the host of the weekly podcast, Strong as a Working Mom. I love that title, by the way. She's a board-certified family physician and has additional certifications in personal training, health coaching, and life coaching. Her website is Carrie Holland, MD. It will be on the show notes, and we'll make sure she tells you where else you can find her later on. But welcome, Carrie. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about coaching, what that is, and how you got into coaching.
Absolutely. Coaching was something that I fell into sort of kind of piecemeal. So just short bits about me, and you already kind of mentioned it in my bio, but I started out as a full-time family physician and went through serious burnout when the combination of all life things came together between being a full-time working parent, trying to navigate that, and then some of my own personal challenges. I got totally fried. And so from there, I started putting pieces together. So the first thing I did was get a personal training certification because I just loved lifting weights and I wanted to help people learn how to exercise. And from there, it sort of spiraled because while I was training people, people would be like, well, how do I put on muscle? Like, what do I need to do to like look like I lift weights? And so from there, I got a nutrition coaching certification. And then I would help. When I initially started out coaching, all I did was, not all, but what I did was I was writing strength training and nutrition plans for people, just helping them to not only build the muscle, but to feed their muscle. And then we would meet and they wouldn't be doing any of the things. And I was like, well, what's going on here? And then I realized that it's our mind, it's our mindset that really is ultimately sort of the key foundation from which everything else comes. And it also happened to be at the time when I was going through some really pretty serious personal challenges in my own life. And I came across coaching. And so I started working with a coach and then realized like everybody needs to know this. And so it kind of spiraled from there. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. And so I got my life coaching certification. And then now using all of that, I feel like I can come at it from a much more holistic approach because I can certainly nerd out about strength training and protein and squats and all of the things. But I also have the mindset tools to help people actually make this happen, which is where it really counts. So that's the kind of the stepwise approach that I took.
Yeah, I love that so much. So much of that resonates with my experience because my interest in sort of how I got into the world of helping people lose weight was interest in exercise. I'd always liked exercise. It was a really powerful tool for me in many ways, physically and mentally. And then I, you know, went through medical school and I realized nutrition was actually just as important, if not more important, in helping people with a lot of their health goals. And then I realized exactly like you did, like, you know, there's this huge gap between knowing what you should do, right? Like, okay, this is the best way to eat for me, and this is the movement that I should be doing, and then accomplishing those things, right? And so like the behavior side is the word I use a lot for, you know, what ultimately ends up being coaching. And then the other layer that my audience knows, you know, I'm so big on is, you know, when those things do not lead to results? Like, what's the other biology that's in the way? And so for me, like utilizing medication, since I am still in that clinical setting, is that other layer, right? That we can add on, like, if all the coaching in the world can't get you the results you're looking for, maybe there's like this other layer of biology that's in your way too. So anyways, I love how you broke that down, right? Because exercise on its own, nutrition on its own, behavior on its own, none of those get most people the results they want health-wise, right? It's like we have to do all the things.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a combination. And I think that there's a place for all of those together for a client or a patient to achieve their results. I think it's a combination of all of those things. And I totally agree. It's not just knowing. Most of us know what to do. It's that gap between knowing and doing. And that's really where coaching and a lot of work that I do sort of brings that together, because we have to get through what is keeping you from doing. And it's not always easy to find that. And so sometimes we have to go digging and find, like, what is it? And often it's the limiting beliefs and lack of self-confidence or the stories that we're telling ourselves. And so I help people unravel those so they can get out of their own way and start moving forward.
So I got introduced to that concept of the stories we're telling ourselves several years ago through some other, physician coaches. And I think it's so powerful. Can you explain what that means? Like, you have a way of explaining when you say this, the stories we tell ourselves. So I'm not sure everyone's familiar with that. Sure. What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, I will use an example. I love examples, and I think it's best illustrated in an example. And we all have our stories, right? So for many of the people that I work with, the story that they tell themselves and me is, I don't have time to exercise. So I just take that thought right there, and we come at it from an approach of curiosity, because what happens often is that that's a thought, right? Like, I don't have time to exercise. However, when we say that to ourselves and to everybody else enough times, what happens? That becomes our belief. It becomes our truth. It's as if we're reporting the news. I don't have time to fill in the blank. And it could be to exercise or to meditate or to read, fill in the blank. But oftentimes, again, what I do relates to exercise or nutrition. And so then we have to pull that apart a little bit. And so there's a couple of questions that I really dive into. And again, we're coming at it from a place of curiosity. This is not about finger wagging in and punching ourselves in the face. This is about getting curious, because that's the only way we're going to be able to pull it apart and move forward. So always ask, is it true? Is it kind? Is it helpful? Most of the time, none of those things apply. And the answer is no. Is it absolutely true that there's no way you can find 5 minutes to exercise? Like, even 5 minutes. And it's important. I can get into that later about why even 5 minutes of exercise is important. Is it kind? Heck no. It's not kind to believe that it's impossible for you to exercise. Is it helpful? No, absolutely not. Right. And so then from there, again, we're unraveling a limiting belief here. So then we get to ask another curious question. Is there any evidence that the opposite might be true? And I really, really love this one. This one comes from Adam Grant's Think Again. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's such a great author. He's an organizational psychologist. But I took that question and I finagled it to make it appropriate for what I do. And so then what we do is look for evidence that the opposite might be true. And I think that that is the highest form of growth possible. When we are able to look at our limiting beliefs and prove ourselves wrong, that's when we're on fire. That's when things start to open up a little bit, because then what we're doing is thinking in terms of possibility. We're looking for what is possible instead of all the reasons that something like exercise isn't possible. And then the last piece, which I think is even more interesting and more important, becomes, what do we get by holding on to that limiting belief? Because we never hold on to beliefs unless we get something from them, whether it's good or bad. And so then we get to talk about another one of my favorite concepts of miserable comfort. So as it sounds, when we hold on to a limiting belief, like it is impossible for me to exercise, then we're stuck. We're stuck in miserable comfort, because your brain's gonna be like, yeah, you're right. There's no time. And so we don't exercise. And then because of that, we've made ourselves comfortable because we're not going out and exercising, but at the same time, we're staying right where we are. And we're that much farther away from our goal because we've created this belief in our head that there's no way we can exercise. So I think of it this way. What comes out of our mouth comes into our lives, right? So if you go and tell yourself and everybody that there's no time to do whatever it is, you're going to go and find all of the reasons to prove that true. So how about we practice thinking something else? How about it's possible that I could find 5 minutes to do a stretch session before I go to work? It is possible for me to take a walk around the neighborhood before I sit down in front of the couch at night. right? So all of these are pieces. They're all different things that we can do to start to break down the stories that we're telling ourselves. It's really powerful. It's not
easy. I mean, I was just like, my mind was just racing with all the things you were saying, because that is incredibly powerful stuff. And I would encourage anyone listening to this right now to like go back and listen to all of that again, because there is so much wealth of knowledge in that. And all of that is true, right? Like, we are the person getting in our way almost all of the time. And I loved that part where you talked about like looking for evidence of like the opposite. I don't know how you worded it, right?
Yep.
Like looking for the flip side of that. And that just makes you explore things, right?
Yes.
I had an experience with that where when I wanted to make the course I made for physicians, I was like, I don't have time. And so I actually like wrote down what my schedule looked like. And I was like, I don't have time, right? Like there is not really sufficient time to work on this project. So then I had to make an uncomfortable choice to make that time, right? And so for me, that meant actually reducing the amount of time I was in clinic seeing patients. And it meant putting one of my kids in more childcare. And like, I had to make a change, right? But when I honestly examined the I don't have time, it was largely too. I didn't have 3 or 4 hours a week that I could really spend on that without cutting into something else like sleep or exercise that was an important thing to me. And so then I had to figure out what could go, right? And so it's these uncomfortable choices we sometimes have to make, but I'm a believer there's always a solution to every problem. Mm-hmm. My family's motto is find a way or make a way. And so like, yeah, it comes back from my grandpa. It was like his high school class motto. And so we've all just taken it with us. And it's like, there's a way, right? And like, a lot of times it's like, I love that the more you tell yourself that story, the more it becomes true, right? So strength training for me, like I've been trying to master pull-ups for a really long time, and I don't make that much progress with them. But that is not me telling myself I can't do pull-ups. I tell myself, if I invested more time in this, I know I could do it, right? And I haven't chosen to do that, but I know I can if I choose to.
Yeah. And there's a big difference between I can't versus I choose not to. Huge.
I choose not to, right? Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. Okay. There is a huge truth nugget there, right? Like, there's a huge difference between I can't and I choose not to. I mean, I don't even know if we need to say anything else today. Like, if you just marinate on that, like, I can't versus I choose not to, like, dude, you got your money's worth on this episode. But I have some other questions for you.
Go for it. I'm here for it.
Okay. So let's talk about strength training, which is what I promised we would talk about today. Tell me, like, why is strength training important? Why is that important to your clients? And why is it important to us in general?
How much time do you have? No, it is so, so important, especially for all of us as we age. So it used to, you know, again, we used to think that people started losing muscle and there's nothing that we could do about it. But in fact, there's a lot that we can do about it. And so the time to start strength training was yesterday. And I would argue that no matter how old you are, get started now, because I mean, just from the biologic benefits, the benefit to building muscle mass, the benefit to building bone density, the decrease in fat that can happen, all of these things, the contribution of muscle mass to your metabolism, all of these things, there are just so many reasons to get going now. And even to not just from a health piece, but also from a function piece. When I get old, I want to be able to run around with my kids. I want to be able to run around with my grandkids. I want to be able to pick up a box from the floor, go up the stairs, even bend over and tie my shoes. And so strength training is not just about aesthetics, but it's about function. And that's where even tying in some of the basic strength training moves, like if you think about it, so an overhead shoulder press, for example, that's getting your carry-on in the overhead storage compartment on your plane. Picking up a box, that's a deadlift. I mean, sitting down into a chair, there's your squat. You know, there's all of these things. So yeah. It's not just about pushing the iron. It's about having function, not just now, but when we're older. So there's, again, I'm going off here, but there's so, so many reasons to do it.
No, I think that's actually the hugest thing. And like, we push that a lot in the CrossFit world, but these are functional movements, right? A squat is getting on and off a toilet, right? Like you want to be able to do that the rest of your life, I think, right? And so like, these are functional movements. These are things, these are not just like to prove a point to someone or show off. Like, when you can do these things, you're going to age better. You're going to be able to keep doing all the things you want to do throughout your life. It's really hard, but not impossible to pick these things up at 70 years old, right? Like you can always start strength training, but you know, doing it now, whatever that now is for you, is really going to pay off.
Well, and especially if you're naive to strength training and if you've never done it before, you will have the capacity to build muscle pretty quickly. If you're consistent about it and if you go at it from an intentional program, you can build muscle pretty quickly. And especially to add in the nutrition, then you're really on fire. And so even if you're brand new and you haven't done it and you're 60, it don't matter. You can still get it done and you'll find that the trajectory is pretty steep as far as how quickly you build muscle. So yes, it doesn't matter if you're brand new and don't know your way around a dumbbell. You can get it going now.
So when we say strength training, I think people probably get different ideas in their head about what that means. What exactly is strength training? Like what sort of things would count as a strength training? What could it look like?
Sure. So I look at it from the key foundation and principle of progressive overload. So when we're talking about building muscle or building strength, it really comes down to progressive overload. And what that simply means is your muscles grow by applying an increased stress over time. And so for somebody, again, in our previous example, for somebody who's brand new to strength training, starting with your own body weight can be enough. So squats, push-ups, and lunges, like even just starting with those, that is using your own body weight as resistance. And then as your muscles get stronger and it gets easier, then you can add resistance. So the next step to that that I usually recommend is something like a set of tubes or loops. Again, they're cheap, they're easy, they're portable, and it's extra resistance because again, the whole idea is to continuously add an increased stress to your muscle. And then when those get too easy, then you can start getting into the dumbbells and the barbells and that sort of equipment. But again, it can be very much a graded approach. So for anybody who's new to it, I would never want them to shy away, be like, oh my gosh, that means clanging around iron at, you know, Gold's Gym and hanging with the bros. Absolutely not. You can start with something as simple as squats and lunges. And if, as long as you have a body and you can count, you can do strength training. Like really, you don't even have to count.
If you have a body and you can count. I don't know. Sometimes the counting gets hard when you're working out, but you know, right? Just round down, just do a few extra if you're not
there.
Sure.
You go. There you go. Yes. So that's really, again, it doesn't have to be this complicated approach and it doesn't have to be that you have to go to a gym. I mean, I do all of my working out at home. I mean, again, COVID taught us if you have dumbbells and a bench, if you have your body weight, you can get it done. You can get it done for sure.
So how much strength training in an ideal world, like what would be sort of the minimum that someone should start with? Like how many minutes or how many days a week would be sort of like a good place to start for someone?
Sure. Well, if you go to the CDC, it's a little bit fuzzy because it's very clear on 150 minutes of physical activity a week, but then it adds on the extra caveat of strength training, working each muscle group at least twice in a week. So it's a little fuzzy. So when I'm working with somebody who's brand new or just wants guidance, I will suggest at least 2 strength training sessions per week, hitting all major muscle groups. And really, again, that's fuzzy. If I have somebody who only has 1 day a week, then I would rather you strength train 1 day a week than zero. And right. Something counts. Something is better than nothing in this case. So again, if you get a solid full body workout, and I have 5 foundational moves that I want every person I work with to know how to do. And I mean, I can tell you what they are. So squats, deadlifts, a chest press or bench press, pull-ups or rows, and an overhead shoulder press. And again, it goes back to what we were talking before. Those are all functional, foundational moves. It's squatting, it's picking up stuff, it's getting overhead, it's pushing, it's pulling, it's getting all of those foundational movements in. And so if you can get those in one full body workout, fine. If you have more time and you can get it over 2, even better. So if you want to build muscle and see gains, then again, more is going to be better up to a point because you have to be able to give yourself time for your body to rest. So think about what you're doing when you're strength training. You're ripping up your muscle fibers, and then it's when you're resting that things happen. That's when the magic happens because the muscles repair themselves, only to come back bigger and stronger for next time. But if you work out too often, then you don't give yourself that chance. So I typically recommend up to 4 strength training sessions in a week. But ideally, again, I will start with 1, and then we grade up from there. I'll meet you where you're at.
So something is always better than nothing, I think, is the take home there. But yeah. Like the ideal would be like the twice a week with getting, you know, all the major body parts involved if possible.
Yes. So ideally 2, but more like 3 or 4, right? Like I'm just, again, between, I generally recommend we start with 2 and then we go to 3 and then we go to 4. And we can break that up however you want, whether it's an upper body, lower body, full body, an upper body, and then a lower body. It does. There's so many ways to break it up. There is no one right way to strength train.
I love that so much because that's the guidance I always give my patients with exercise in general, right? Is we really don't know what the perfect exercise plan is. And we're all probably going to respond to different things. And ideally, it's like you enjoy it, right? And so, you know, people are like, well, should I be on the spin bike or should I be on a treadmill? I'm like, well, which one do you like? You know, which one's more fun for you to do, right? Like, you know, should I do CrossFit or Orange Theory? I'm like, well, which one do you like, right? So we don't know what the perfect form of exercise is, but we do know that moving more and getting in a mixture of strength and conditioning are like really the key elements here. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, I mean, there's the heart health piece and the cardiovascular endurance and that piece, which you're going to get from cardio, but you can also get a little bit of cardio from going hard at the gym too. Like there are definitely strength training sessions where I've left a little sweaty, a little breathy. So it's not one or the other. It's really both.
So bringing this together, we talked earlier about mindset, which you had just like such amazing insight. Again, I would encourage everyone to go back and listen to that if those concepts are new to you, because just tons of wealth of knowledge there. How do we bridge this? Okay, I know I should be doing some strength training to actually making it happen.
Mm-hmm. It's habit, right? So what I really encourage people to do is to look at it from two angles. So we're going to look at what you can do on your best day. So most people, when they come to me, they're like, I want to exercise. I want to do it 5 days a week. I want it to be 45 minutes. I want to do a little bit of Peloton and I want to do some strength training. And that's awesome. But if you're starting from currently being sedentary and sitting on your couch to go to 5 days a week, 45 minutes at a time, that's a pretty wide gap. And oftentimes when we're starting new habits, we tend to shoot for the moon. And that's great, but that's going to be our ceiling. That's going to be like in an ideal world, what's going to happen? Because it's easy when it's easy, right? Like when our kids cooperate, we get out of work on time, the dog hasn't pooped in the house, everything is firing on all cylinders. That's when we can get it in, right? But I will also take the flip side and I will ask anybody that I work with, what can you do on your worst day? And some people raise an eyebrow at me, but I do think that when we're forming habits and we're contemplating habits, we need to look at that because I want you to be able to know, even when everything is falling down around me, I can still be someone who gets my workout done. And that is so, so, so essential. I want to see you set a goal, maybe even if it's just a little bit of a stretch, and I want you to go do it because what that's going to do is prove your self-efficacy. And that, honestly, that is essential. You have to believe in your ability to go and get the thing done, and then you go do it. And what better way to do that when everything is going crazy and you still get your workout done? So that, honestly, I will take that approach. I will look at
I couldn't agree more. And I was laughing when you mentioned the dog poop because you basically described my morning here. I looked at my schedule for my gym and I discovered there was no 8 o'clock class, which is what I was planning to go to. And then I couldn't get my daughter out of bed because of the time change. And I finally got her to school and I got home and I had this podcast, you know, at 10 my time. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have time to do the hour long workout I plan to do. And then my dog had pooped and peed upstairs. And I was like, eh. But I did my backup plan, which is I got on the Peloton and I did my 30 minutes on the Peloton. And it wasn't what I had in my ideal world, what I was going to do today. But I still got that movement in. And we have to have, and I have a whole podcast episode about this that I call it backup plans, right? Like there's this is my ideal world. And then this is like, what's the minimum that I can probably make happen almost always. And so I love that so much. I love it.
Well, and there's also the other piece to it. So going back to habit. So I'll often encourage people, especially if even doing like what you said, like your 30 minutes this morning, like for some people, even that is hard. And so I'll be like, okay, can we do 5 minutes? Like
I like run marathons and stuff, right? So 30 minutes is like a lot to a lot of people. To me, that's like a small amount, right? So but whatever that is, right? 5 minutes totally counts, right? Five minutes absolutely counts.
Well, and it's two sides of the coin, right? Because with all habits, there's the habit itself, right? There's getting on the bike. There's getting your gear together. There's getting your water bottle, all of that. And then there's the actual workout itself. And it's both sides of that coin. So there's the workout, but then there's the habit of the habit. All of the things that get you to do the habit. And those are both equally important and need to come together to, again, reaffirm to you, I'm somebody who gets her workout done. It's both pieces.
I love it. I love it so much. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. If my listeners want to connect with you and get, you know, more of this information, how can they find you?
Absolutely. So I'm on the social media. I'm on Facebook at Carrie Holland MD, Same thing with Instagram, Carrie Holland, MD. I do have a YouTube channel where I post workouts 6 days a week. They're not fancy, I will say that. They're just demonstrations of the moves along with set and rep counts. Again, Carrie Holland, MD. I think I have the CPT after my name on that. I'll just say Carrie Holland, MD, CPT. And then I also have a podcast. It's called Strong as a Working Mom. It's all things eating, moving, and thinking every week. So yeah, that's, and then my website is carriehollandmd.com.
Well, I have not had a chance to listen to your podcast. I just found out about it, but I am guessing it's amazing based on the conversation we had today because you had so many amazing nuggets. So thank you so much for sharing those all with us today. And until next week, take care. Thank you for listening to the Dr. Francavilla Show, where we learn about all things related to weight and health. If you love this podcast, make sure to leave those 5-star reviews and share this podcast with a friend or loved one. If you have a topic about weight and health you want me to tackle, head over to the website, thedrfrancavillashow.com, to submit your question. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss next week's episode. Take care.